Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Clark from the Center for Weight Loss Success. And on this podcast of Weight Loss Surgery Success, we're going to talk a little bit about some eating triggers. Do certain situations tend to flip that switch on my eating? Does a certain food tend to call your name? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Again, this is Dr. Clark, and on today's podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about some eating triggers and can they potentially lead to some of our own dietary disasters. All of us seem to have them. There'll be either certain situations, there'll be certain emotions. There are also certain foods that may just call your name, and all of a sudden these triggers come out and we're eating what we should be eating. Diet has kind of been thrown out the window. So now a trigger, when we talk about triggers though, and trigger is something that sets an action into motion. Obviously a trigger on a gun fires the gun. Okay, so a trigger is something that sets in motion a course of events. Well, with eating, there are three broad categories of triggers I like to talk about. One is trigger foods, another is trigger feelings, and then finally also what I'll call as trigger environments. We're going to start with trigger foods. A trigger food is that certain food that tends to turn that switch that all of a sudden I can't leave them alone. Whether it is, you know, I have one M&M and all of a sudden I'm going to eat the whole 3-pound bag. If it's I had one Oreo, I had a taste of ice cream, and all of a sudden it sets off this eating frenzy like you wouldn't believe, and the diet really just kind of falls out the window. So it really seems to be some specific food that sets off a course of overeating, and you might want to say you'll lose control. So control is loss, and then maybe that excessive amounts. Now if it's truly excessive amounts, it potentially is what is the definition of binge eating there. But then we're not really going that far. But there are lots of trigger foods. For me personally, it's like, boy, the mint Oreos. And I also love ice cream, but I can usually keep that under control. So there are certain things, and this is very common with people. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit, and as most of you know in my discussions, I'm not a big fan of deprivation diets. That, gee, I'm never going to have this again because, it's not on my diet plan. I'm not a big fan of deprivation diets. On the other hand, though, because I'd like you to think of really just I can have a very small portion and be okay with that. But many people notice that if there may be a certain food that actually, if I have one, the old Lay's potato chip, no one can eat just one. I have one, I'm eating the whole bag, whether it be M&M's, whether it be Oreos, whether it be Lay's potato chip or whatever. So these are very, very common. They tend to be the sugary, salty combinations, or sugary, high fat combinations such as ice cream. They can be that salty, crunchy combination such as the chips. Some people, it's bread. It can be crackers, and it often then leads you to this kind of, while you're doing it, you get this short-term high, but it's typically then followed by this crash, and that's the big blood sugar swing. But it's really the food, not the emotion that it causes, that is really the trigger here. Then often people will know it's this one thing. If it is that one thing, then yeah, you may have to avoid that one thing. So if it's the food and not the emotion, then it's going to be okay. You're going to have to really work on kind of keeping that out of your vision, keeping it out of the house, keeping it out of where you know it's going to be, staying away from the places you know you might get that. Okay. And so many people have to avoid trigger foods completely. Now, this is slightly different than cravings, because cravings are actually very common. They tend to be most pronounced with high carb foods, and they're really most pronounced during the early phases of a new diet plan, specifically low carbohydrate diets. So it tends to be very pronounced with the highly refined carbohydrates, the cookies, the breads, the pastries, the chips, and again, they peak during the first few weeks of dieting. And that's because we actually get true withdrawal symptoms when we take carbohydrate way down. So you get these worsening cravings, you may get headaches, you may get fatigue, you may actually get shakiness, this irritability, you're a bear to be around. And this is also related to some of the blood sugar swings. Now, if this is the case for you and your actual cravings, then chromium can actually be very helpful. Chromium's a mineral, just like sodium's a mineral, potassium's a mineral, calcium's a mineral. So these are minerals, but chromium, what it does, and about 85% of the population is actually a little deficient in chromium, so most people could benefit from it anyway. What chromium does, it helps smooth over blood sugar swings. When we smooth over blood sugar swings, we smooth over insulin swings. We smooth over insulin swings, and cravings tend to fade away. So if you're going to use chromium for cravings, if you get a bottle of chromium, you can get it just about anywhere. Just about every pharmacy has chromium. If you get a bottle of chromium, on the bottle, it'll typically say take once a day. It's kind of a supplement. Okay. That doesn't work for cravings. Typically, you need to take it at least 3 times a day, and some people actually need to take 2 tablets 3 times a day. So if a normal dose is 1 kind of a day, you may actually have to, for significant cravings, may have to bump that up to even 2 tablets 3 times a day. You won't overdose on this. Okay. All right, now that doesn't mean take a whole bottle of it. Okay, so we talked a little bit about trigger foods. Now the next part of the kind of eating triggers was trigger feelings, and this is the emotional side. So a certain emotion, whether it be a really good emotion, I'm really happy, or the bad emotion, I'm really depressed, I'm angry, I'm sad, but this can set off that period of overeating. And so the common examples then are stress, anxiety, anger, sadness, loneliness, but there are lots of things, and you know it, okay? But this often will set up this overeating, and it can be, with this, it typically can be any foods. It usually isn't a one, gee, I gotta have this. It often can be just any foods, literally just eating any available foods, the salty, the crunchy, the sweet, the doughy, it could be just about anything. Sometimes they still are that high, you know, high carbohydrate, high fat, but it usually isn't a particular thing. This is going to be just a broad category of, gee, sets off this eating frenzy. Now, the key here is you need to identify that emotion. What is the emotion that actually is setting this off? And one of the best ways to do that is journal. And so if you get through these little scenarios that, gee, got really depressed and therefore I subsequently then ate all this. But write it down. So if you write it down, you'll start to see the pattern here is where, okay, this certain emotion seems to take over and that's when I struggle the most. So journaling is one of the best ways to figure it out. So it's not just journaling what you're eating. It's journaling the emotion that actually went along with the eating. So that's a very important part of taking the journaling at least one step further there. And then you're going to actually go analyze kind of why two things go together, whether it be as really happy, whether it be as really sad. So we have trigger foods, trigger feelings, and then the third eating trigger is trigger environments. And these are also incredibly common. They're usually social things. Okay. So it's a specific situation that sets off an episode of overeating. And it often is a certain situation that is very common for you. Right? It may be getting together with family or friends. So these are situations such as watching the football games on Saturday or Sunday. I get together with my friends or my family, or even if it's just sitting down by yourself. When I sit down and have the football game, I'm going to open a beer and I'm going to have a bag of chips or pretzels, whatever it is. It typically isn't the celery sticks. So it's this situation that tends to do this. It may be when I go to the movies, I always get the big bucket of popcorn and the soda. me, whatever it is. Sometimes it's, you know, when I get together with my friends after work. Okay, this is what we do as a social thing. Or maybe our friends, we get together on Friday and we have a dinner club. Okay, whatever it is. But they tend to be these social events. And it's often a specific group or a specific friend. And this is what ends to really turn this on. This is the trigger there. So the overeating then is set off by this specific social event, specific environment or situation. Now, to manage this, one is you just have to identify it. Okay, you have to identify the kind of the location, the people that are involved. And you can think about, well, just avoid those situations. But the reality is that's probably not going to happen, is because, you know, you want to watch the football game. You want to socialize with your friends, your family, go out to, you're going to have to eat dinner somewhere. And so if this is a dinner club or a dinner group that you get along with, then avoidance doesn't work very well. You can't just avoid your family. Sometimes we want to avoid our family forever, but we can't. Yeah. So we want to kind of, that's really not the right answer there. So what we need to then do is kind of develop the strategies to minimize the overeating. Now, to minimize the overeating, then it's okay, you got to have that mindset of, okay, I'm not going to be, you know, drinking 12 beer, or I'm not going to be eating the whole cake, or I'm not going to be kind of eating the whole bag of chips when I go. So even if they have all these things there, which very likely, it's going to be unusual that you can convince everybody there that we're all just going to start eating very healthy, and this will turn this social situation into a completely different social situation. That typically doesn't work very well. So then when we start to, how do you actually manage this? Now we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk a little about willpower. Willpower is something everybody has, even though often people like to say, I don't have any willpower. So willpower is there. And so when we talk about these situations, with one, you want to start working around the situations and trying to figure out different ways to socialize and things like that. But we do actually have to still use willpower. I mean, willpower is important because over a period of time, cravings will tend to fade away. Now, one of the problems that cravings become so difficult is because basically when we're talking about willpower, we're talking about an internal struggle. You have an internal struggle to do something, not do something. It's an internal struggle there. And sometimes the reason there's that internal struggle is because we haven't actually made up our mind of what the right answer is, of what is we're really going to do. And if you make up your mind that this is what I'm going to do, then the internal struggle goes way, way down. Doesn't mean it's gone. But the internal struggle then is often due to this indecision that we have. As we know that there's going to be this decision that we have to make, though, you know, go left, go right, is I'm going to either eat the chips, whatever it is, get the bag of popcorn, not get the bag of popcorn when I go in there. So you have this moment, you have this time of indecision. And so you need to sometimes make eating rules or make that hard and fast decision that I'm not going to do this. And if you make that decision, I'm not going to give in to this craving, it tends to weaken. And if you start to weaken this, the intensity starts to fade. Now, initially, that can be very difficult. But willpower is not something you either do or don't have. Everybody has it. Willpower is like a muscle. We can actually strengthen it. But in order to do that, you have to practice the willpower. So it can be strengthened with practice. And maybe it's, okay, I'm leaving this alone for 5 minutes, or whether it be 5 days or 5 months. But no matter what, we can work on this and we can strengthen it. Now, in order to strengthen willpower, good idea to have a few strategies on how to do it. And there are kind of two broad categories of strategies I'm going to give you here. One is just changing your mindset, so some mindset changing techniques. The second is kind of what I'll call habit changing techniques. Well, with mindset changing techniques, we'll start off here first, is you first have to be very truthful with yourself. You have to really tell yourself, this is a craving. not necessarily true hunger, because hunger and cravings are two different things. You need to really kind of delineate those two things. This is a craving, not true. If you're truly hungry, then eat something appropriate. Okay? But craving isn't true hunger. Is there another reason that you're eating? So really, you have to be truthful yourself. Is there other reasons? So it's because I'm lonely, I'm sad, I'm tired, I'm stressed, whatever it is. And then you have to really start trying to not waver in your commitment. This sounds easier said than done, but over time, it will get easier. Again, anything we practice, we get better at. The thing to think about, or one important thing to think about as you're going through this and struggling, is kind of imagine the aftermath of giving in. So imagine the aftermath of giving in and think about, I'm going to feel lousy if I really give in. And often we do physically feel lousy. So remember that from the beginning and kind of replace the word can't with won't. Remember, you always have a choice. Okay? There are two different, we always have a choice there. It doesn't mean that sometimes we don't make bad decisions. We do. Okay? So, but make sure you realize I am consciously making this choice. Often in a weight loss plan, it's always going back to, too, what are your goals? Look at the long-term goals, not just the short-term things. So that short-term, this is going to taste really good. But the long-term goals, where am I? What am I doing this for? I want to improve my health. I want to bring my cholesterol down, my blood pressure down, get rid of diabetes. I want to get in that size 8 by my class reunion or by my 50th birthday. I want to be off this medication. Whatever it is, remember those long-term goals. Remind yourself why it's so important to withstand these cravings. Over time, it'll get easier. All right, so that's kind of some of the mind-changing techniques. Now, the other part was kind of the habit-changing techniques. Part of this is sometimes we just need to distance ourselves from the food you crave. And again, if there's a true trigger food that I can't only eat just one, that Lay's potato chip, that M&M, whatever it is, then you have to have the food gone from your environment. So distance yourself from the food you crave. Remove your food or remove yourself from that scene. Another good tactic to use is actually drink something. Okay, thirst is often mistaken for hunger. So when we're kind of having this hunger, just push the water. It's a great way to help kind of prevent this. Our bodies do mix up thirst and hunger. Relax. Set some deep breathing. Set that timer for a few minutes and actually do some deep breathing exercise. Cravings fade with time. Sometimes just getting yourself out of there, taking that brisk walk. So distract yourself, that brisk walk, doing something with your hands, literally brush your teeth. Typically, people don't want to eat something right after they brush their teeth. Paint or polish your nails. Okay, that again brings up the that potato chip commercial where they say somebody that's getting their nails polished and has potato chip crumbs all over them. But typically, people don't want to actually sit and eat while they're doing their nails. Again, that brisk walk, exercise, call a friend, take a shower. Typically aren't eating in the shower. Practice a musical instrument. We're typically not eating when we do. Do something like this. Work in the yard. It's kind of hard to put your fingers in the dirt and also eat at the same time. So distract yourself. Do something a little bit different. So there's some few strategies to help kind of not cave into the cravings, try to strengthen your willpower. All right, now in summary then with all of this, again, food triggers, eating triggers are real. They typically fall into three categories: certain foods, certain social trigger, certain feelings, certain foods, certain feelings, and certain situations. Now, they're all around this. They will trigger that eating. We want to learn to recognize them and then start to begin to control them and develop those strategies to combat them. All right, that's the only way you're going to get towards your weight loss, weight maintenance, your health goals. All right, now if you need more information, just give us a yell here at the Center for Weight Loss Success. The corporate website is www.cfwls.com. If you just want more information from me, every single week I do a live webinar. You get access to me. We're going to cover certain topics like this, but you have access to ask questions. We do it live every single Tuesday. To get to that, that's Losing Weight USA. Go to our website, www.losingweightusa.com. Sign up there. You'll get access to me every week, as well as you'll get weekly tips, weekly recipes, something to keep in mind there. So I'd like to thank you all for listening on this podcast. Again, if you want more information, just give us a yell. Remember, it's your life. Make it a healthy one. Take care, everyone.